The moon vanished again behind a bank of cloud. He felt, more than heard, the movement behind him. Some sixth sense caused him to turn, just in time to see a shadow rise up above him. Then his head was filled with light and pain, and he felt his legs buckle beneath him. The concrete beneath his feet was hard and unforgiving as he hit it with the full force of his body weight, his flashlight clattering away. He heard the air escape his lungs in a rush, and he panicked as, for a moment, he couldn't seem to draw another breath. Then he heard his own voice in his throat, a long, painful gasp as he finally refilled his lungs. Half turning at the scrape of leather soles, Enzo rolled himself over to look up and see a figure looming over him, arms raised to strike again. From somewhere he found the strength to scramble to his feet and stagger toward the perimeter wall of the platform, fueled by pure adrenaline. He tumbled over it and onto the frost-hardened ground below. He gasped involuntarily as the force of it emptied his lungs once more. But one single, sharp intake of breath and he was on his feet again. Shaky legs somehow carried him forward, half running, half staggering. He glanced back to see his attacker coming after him, silhouetted against the horizon, moving quickly and easily in his wake. The moon emerged from behind the clouds, their shadows chasing him back the way he had come, toward the dark line of the trees at the car park. He didn't look back, just ran. His breath tearing at his lungs now, his body crying out for oxygen to power this sudden, unexpected and painful burning of energy. He could hear the footfalls behind him, closer now, also running. He felt panic rise inside him. And then the sky carpeted the land below it with darkness again. He was running blind now, back toward the gate, and the warning sign peppered with buckshot. He could no longer see it or anything else. Something cut into his leg just above the ankle, and he found himself flying headlong into space, the damned rope pegged around the trou to keep people away. And he remembered thinking how it had seemed more like a tripwire than a deterrent. Again he hit the ground, spread-eagled across grass and rock, and as he tried to get to his feet, felt a jarring pain in his right knee. It almost buckled beneath him as he hobbled forwards, uncertain now of his direction. He could hear the roar of the sea deep in the folds of the Trou L'Enfer 100 feet below. But the noise seemed to be all around him. He was stunned, confused, but scared to stop. With no idea now where his pursuer was, he turned toward where he thought the gate might be. Light cascaded over the cliffs once more as the wind tugged at his jacket, and he saw the deep, dark slash of the Trou immediately ahead. Almost at the same moment, the ground beneath his feet slipped away, frozen mud and rock crumbling and tumbling into darkness, and Enzo felt himself falling through space, down into this crack in the earth that led straight to hell. The call of the devil below filled his ears. And in that moment he knew that his life was over, that whatever Charlotte might have meant by her parting words, it no longer made any difference. His unborn son would never know his father. Father.